Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
Hello everyone, welcome to the Mach and Pajak podcast, yet again another socially distant podcast that it is, and not to do with the fact that we just don't have the staff to produce as much as anything else, but yeah, we're keeping our distance as much as it's hard, literally.
Yeah, well, it is difficult, I just want to touch you.
How you been? How's your week been?
It's not been the most fun week I've ever had.
You were struggling last week.
Oh, big time.
Yeah.
Big time. This week's got a lot better. Mm-hmm. And Kat getting a little bit better. She's nearly at the point where she is actually probably okay. Has made a massive difference. The kids understanding the rules a little bit more has made a massive difference to that as well. So, yeah, I think generally speaking, it's going all right. I've got a handle on my life a bit more nowadays than I did last week. But you know, I think everybody's in the same boat here, Paul. It's not nice being stuck inside.
No, there is very much that thing, isn't there? Where I think I said this last week, but it's just as true this week. Is you get to the end of a good day, and you're like, that was a good day, but there's no win. You didn't win. You've got to somehow find. You've then set a bar that you've got to reach the next day. So that was a good day. What made that a good day? And then you think about it, and you're like, fuck me, I went for like a long walk up and down hills with the kids and that, and I played this game and I did this. And for me, my biggest issue with it is that, and you know this, it's like you've got a bunch of neuroses, and we've all got our own neuroses.
Is it the fact that you don't like repeating things?
100%. I really struggle with doing the same shit over and over again. Anything, something doesn't save and you've got to do it again, it drives me.
The problem you've got here is you've got kids, and kids like repetitive shit.
Oh, that's how they learn.
So, for example, I can just picture it. Penny wants to do a jigsaw, you've done it, that's it, it's done. Never need to do that jigsaw ever again. Yet Penny will want to do it 7 times on the bounce.
Yeah. You know what? I had this thought the other day in a real wider sense, and how being a second-born child is horrible. And why it is, and doubly so when you then end up as a middle child if you have 3, because the stuff that Penny doesn't get to do, because I did it with Jack and I can't be arsed to do it with her, and these are stupid things, these are not like, you know, the fundamentals of life, these are like, you know, those machines in like Belvale where you put a quid in and the cars and they go up and down. I did that for Jack because it was, you got your first child's so special, and oh, it's the first time I get to put a kid on one of these. I went on these as a kid myself, the first time, and you come around second and you go, they're a complete waste of money, the crap, they don't even go upside down or anything. I'm not doing it. So like, she's had very much the whole, you can have a sit on it.
Yeah.
And if I can be asked, I might rock it a little bit for you.
I've genuinely never done that.
But yeah, you do. I knew, because the repetition thing is hilarious, because bedtime is the worst time for this. I have to get in there first and get the book and choose the book. And you've got to sell it. Do you want Daddy to pick the books tonight? Shall I do the stories? Yeah. Oh my God, thank God. Oh, thank God. So, like, I'll go and pick a Mr. Men story that I've not read in years, or a new one, or whatever. If she picks, she will pick these nursery rhyme books. But she's 4. We're at the point where she knows them all, she'll just sing them to me, which is nice in its own way. Or there's this Doc McStuffins book, and you'll have these, like, kids' activity books where normally they're done with magnets, so they put the characters on each page. This one's done with suction cups, which, if you've ever used anything that's got a suction cup on it, it's a spotty technology at best, Chris. So you're putting these characters onto this scene and it's got like a paragraph of writing on each page. I have read that 7,000 times. And I've got to the point now where she goes, you don't like to put the things on, do you, Daddy? Because it's too much of a mess, isn't it? And I'm like, it is, sweetheart. It is, yeah. We're just going to read the words.
My one of them is, there's this book where it's called The Jolly Postman or something like that, I think it is. And you have to take all the fucking letters out. And then and inside there's like a fucking extra story. So it's like, it's quite a thin story book, generally speaking. But by the time you've opened everything up and read everything, it's a 45-minute fucking thing. Like, you can do a full episode of Game of Thrones in that time. And I'm fucking doing The Jolly Postman saying hello to a fucking witch. It's bullshit.
And you're doing the voices.
Oh my God, it's terrible. So I, you know that I do our own stories based on the dolls that they have. I just make stuff up, and then I started.
I did not know this. Carry on.
How did you know? Oh, I've been talking about this. Yeah. So they've got two dolls. One's called Phoebe, and one's called Alexia. Uh-huh. And I don't know what they are. They're big fucking things, scary fucking things, by the way. But they look quite good. So we just make stories up with them in. So like last week, have I not done this with you?
No.
I know. I must have talked about it on a Red Men show. So I'll just make a story.
Bearing in mind that I've done the Red Men shows with you recently. What show have you put this on?
Is this
on like a news show?
Probably. It could be. It's been thin on the ground, the news poll. So like, I've just done the full fucking Lord of the Rings story with them as the main characters. They don't fucking know. But the great thing is, Robin's like, what the orcs look like, Daddy? And I'm like, I'll show you, sweetheart. And she, I fucking show you. Shit herself.
Daddy's like a genius writer.
Fucking, honestly, so I tried to do Star Wars and he went into it though, which was a bit irritating. And I started with a long time ago in a galaxy far, far away, and Kat just left the room.
Shook her head, tutted and walked out like, yeah.
I know where this shit's going.
Yeah, you just did a cork popping downstairs.
We do that like it's like Phoebe and Alexia going fucking the Lonely Mountain to defeat Smaug and stuff like that, which is the Hobbit, obviously, and then you lead them into it, and then you just start throwing them into other stories. But then you can have a little bit of creative storytelling, so I'll go like, Robin, what do you want? Like, Phoebe and Alexia have walked in and there's treasure everywhere, and what are they doing? Well, the baby's hungry. Okay, well, Phoebe and Alexia then grab the baby and give it some milk, and then it's all fine, and they got the treasure, and they go, and it's quite cool. Like, and then you go to like Lyra, and you're like, what's happened? And you go, they were tired, so they fell asleep. And you go, okay, they fell asleep, and then they got up, and then they attacked Smaug, and just fucking go with it. Like,
this is amazing. This is like next level stuff. I'm very impressed.
Yeah, and then my other favourite one, it used to be a favourite of mine, was we got the bunk beds.
Uh-huh.
So you throw the quilt over the top and they hang down and create a house,
sure,
underneath. And then you close the door over, so you've got this perfect house and a couple of pillows, and then the ladder's essentially a window, and you do the big bad wolf and you fucking knock on and you go and you do it all, and it's like, little pig, let me come in. And they fucking shit themselves. They're like, no, not by the crappy bum fluff hair on your chinny chin chin, Daddy.
It's coming in quite nicely.
Well, this is the most hair I've ever had on my face.
What's up? Did you shave this middle bit here?
No. No, Paul. These two little bits around.
It looks like you've gone for a stylized from the septum of your nose right down the middle. Like if you were in some sort of heavy metal band, like if you were in Disturbed, this would be.
But you know, the mad thing is, like, I'm starting to get beard envy of everyone in the world because mine's the worst in the world. So I'm looking at people going, fuck me, that's a glorious beard. It's never bothered me before. It's never, ever bothered me. I'm just like, I can't grow one. And now that I know I can't grow one, but equally, I refuse to give in just yet.
You've gone for like, the top looks like the negative Hitler stash. That's what you've gone for. You're using the negative space.
You know what though? I'm enjoying it because it's something to do.
Yeah, absolutely.
I'm just sitting there, and I don't think it's grown at all in a week, if I'm honest.
Obviously it has.
I don't think it has. I think it just stopped and went, no, we're all right, Tar. We'll just leave you looking this shit forever.
It's funny, my dad's had this, been growing the goatee this year, and he shaved off the beard thing, and obviously we speak to them on like FaceTime every evening. And I've just for something to talk to about it, because by and large, you know, the man who pauses the telly, my mum speaks, and then my mum turns the phone, and my dad is not engaged with the conversation in any way, shape, or form. So I just tried to take the piss out of him for like still wearing the same t-shirt as the day before. And I mentioned the goatee, so we shaved the bottom thing up, but he's got like the soul patch thing going on. He looks like an absolute don. He was like, I don't understand why you're spending so, like, so concerned with my facial hair. And I was like, Dad, I've known you for 37 years, and for 36 and a half of those years, you've just had a moustache. You've had exactly the same facial hair. So you changing that as a significant difference to your life? He was like, no, I used to have done it. He went, not in my lifetime. You've had the same look. It's weird. And this is the thing, like, you know, I the second person I'm close to is doing something different with the facial hair.
You have to do something, haven't you? Yeah. You know what I mean? It takes away from the fact that my hair needs cutting.
Right, can I just highlight to everyone, by the way, because I went on a significant rant last week, and I think a pair of people...
How close are you to
like, literally, I finished editing last week's show, got it out on the Friday, and it was probably while I was in it, it was in my head, and my son's hair needs cutting as well, and it's starting to get a bit shaggy, and I'm like, I think just give people up and down the banks for this whole, don't lose your head and shave it. Like, I'm not going to go crew cut. Not this week, anyway.
You'd look a bit mad doing this all the time.
Oh,
no,
but that's it. I've got the tick. It's the Wayne's World, tick. I'm going to need to do something at some point. But there's going to come a point where all the people who shaved their head are probably laughing because they'll just do it again. And everyone will be used to it by that point. Whereas I'm kind of in a situation where it's like being a late adopter to something, isn't it? You know, like with clothing or technology, and everyone's bang up and it's like getting I want to talk about TikTok later, but it's like getting a TikTok account in a year's time, and you're starting to do the challenges on it, and people are like, mate,
it's so over.
You just look like a fucking
idiot. So 2020.
Exactly.
Isolation.
You just look like an idiot now. So I have had the preliminary conversations with my wife about this, about, I said to her, can you cut his hair?
Test case.
Exactly. Yeah, exactly. Tested on my son. I'm not like, look, it's his birthday on Thursday, not before his birthday. Don't ruin his birthday by giving him a mad haircut. But just, I don't mean do a proper haircut. I just need a tidying up. I just think get the clippers, just run it up around the back and sides of his and see how it looks. And if you don't catastrophically cock it up, or you think you've learned what's gone wrong, that might be enough for me to just do it. Otherwise, I might have to take to it myself at some point. But you're all right, because you haven't like significantly styled your hair in years anyway, so you can probably go to like a crop if you had to.
I'll just shave it off. Yeah. Not a problem. It's what I used to do, remember? Yeah. Like, it's probably, I think we were doing Redmen at the time. I just used to shave it, leave it for 3 months, shave it again, and just, it's not something that's ever bothered me, so I'm not asking.
You'll have to keep the goatee while you're doing it, though.
Oh, you know, like that's a fucking egg. Mate, I put fucking time and effort into this bastard. Now I've been sitting there and I going, grow. Trying to force it to grow.
We're going to create the comparison picture of like what you're meant to look like and what you should look like, and put like prime Stone Cold Steve Austin next to you. I'm bang up for this. I'm bang up for the potential social gold of all this kind of stuff.
Nothing else to do, is there?
No, well, this is the point, isn't it?
I went shopping once.
How was it? Because we had this, we had horrendous. This chat, didn't we? Because I had this boat when I got out of
quarantine. You had a boat?
Yeah, whatever it takes. I'm like Joey and Chandler. I've just got it in my bedroom just for the fucking, just to pretend I've got somewhere to go. When I got well again and I came out of quarantine and being able to finally go and do the shop, and it was glorious. But of course, the world moved on in those weeks. Like it's actually moved on because it's been like it's about a week and a half or something, I think, the difference between, or 2 weeks between us. And for people who've been at this, you know, who've been able to freely move about for the last month or 5 weeks or whatever the hell it's been, it's probably been about 3 days, hasn't it? And it's felt that long. You're probably not surprised by this, but you were caught unawares by a shopping system in Tesco's.
Oh yeah, but that's the second part of this story, Paul. So the first part is I went to, and I will not name it this time because I always do that joke where I won't name it. It's Roy. I will not name the supermarket that I went to, but it's a local supermarket that used to be an Aldi in Kensington, or very close to Kensington.
Oh, yeah, yeah,
right?
Yeah.
So I went there first thinking...
Why are you not naming it?
Well, because of what I'm about to say.
Okay.
Okay. Right, okay. So I went there first, and I thought, I'll try and do most of my shopping there. I shop there all the time anyway, like just a few bits and pieces and whatever. I'll go there, I'll get what I can, and then I'll go to one of the big supermarkets. That way I'm helping the local economy a bit, putting money into their pockets and whatever. Sound, no worries. So I went there, and life hadn't changed. Life hadn't moved on any since the lockdown. You know, the fellas are still there smoking in the veg section. the social distancing isn't a thing. So I walked around and like everyone's fucking all over here, and there's literally no social distancing whatsoever. Did me shopping. I was like, okay, that was a little bit strange. Okay, was expecting a little bit more. Went to finish up in Tesco's. Got to Tesco's. Like fucking lines on the floor, queue up here. It was like three people. Sam walked in, got me trolley all fucking disinfected and all that. Walked around, went through the computer section first. Had to buy my mother a birthday card and all that. Like, went through there, halfway around the supermarket, some customer started shouting. He's like, "What are you doing? You're going the wrong way down the aisle." I was like, "What the fuck are you talking about?" Like, she's like, "The arrow's on the floor." I'm like, "My fucking pop up blocker was full on." I was like, "No, I didn't see any of this shit because I'm like virtual or in real life. I block out adverts."
Yeah.
So I blocked out every single arrow on the floor for nearly half the supermarket, and now I'm getting shouted at by a customer.
And let's not forget that in the world we've just been in, stepping back out into the real world again. Just the freedom of headspace to not be within the four walls of your house. You're not, I don't think you're genuinely focused on what you're doing when you're going shopping at this point. Like, and you should be. And I think people who've been on this or on the ball on this and have been doing this now for weeks are probably laser focused in how they shop. But when you've come out of lockdown for a fortnight,
you've just been to that other supermarket where nothing's fucking going on.
Yeah.
Like, I was lulled into a false sense of security.
You're probably just in your own head, aren't you? So, what?
So then I'm there and I'm getting shouted at. I'm like, I look down, I'm like, oh my God, I've done this all wrong. Like, and then I realised that
what have they put on the. They've taped the floor.
There's tape every 2 metres. And yeah. The idea is that you can't go into the next 2 metre if someone's in there. So you have to stop and wait. And I was just zooming past people going up the wrong fucking way and all kinds of stuff. So then I'm like onto the system, and then they start talking over the time. There is a flow system in place and blah, blah, blah. I'm like, why don't you just tell the person who's on the fucking trolley to tell you that when you're going in the shop?
Yeah.
Right. But then, it's also Tesco's Old Swan I went to.
Mm-hmm.
Because I thought, they're not going to be up that early in Old Swan. It'll be sound. And I was right, by the way. If I went to Allerton Road, Tesco's, there'll be fucking a queue out the door for miles. And I'm there, I'm like, oh my God, okay, well, sound. I'm now in a supermarket. I don't shop in Tesco's anyway.
Uh-huh.
And I definitely never shop in the Old Swan one. So now I don't know where anything is. And I'm like, fucking hell, I've missed the hummus here. I think it's in the last one. So I'm having to go back to go fucking. And then I'm at the edge of the fucking thing, looking at the floor, going, there's an arrow just one way. I'm like, fuck it, two aisles. Run down the fucking two aisles. Fucking shoot up to come back round and fucking down again. And I still missed the fucking hummus. In the end, I just didn't buy any.
It's like taking the wrong turn if you get onto Dale Street in Liverpool and you missed your opportunity to get up to, like, you know, to Victoria Street or whatever. And you end up like, how the hell do I get back to where I need to be? But this is the problem, you're right, is that because this thing in life, and one of the few things that stuck with me from university was semiotics, semiology, and the idea of like studying signs and what they mean. So the idea that you understand intrinsically, or you're taught this, what a traffic light means because of the context in which it's placed and all that. So you understand how society works, could partly training, but also things work in the environments in which they're used. This tape on the floor stuff, if this is new to you, and it was to me. So by the way, you gave me the very top line of that story before, and then this morning, and then I had to go to Sainsbury's to pick my shopper up and pick my son's birthday presents up, and I walked into an aisle, and I'd been walking around for 5 minutes before I remembered your story about there being arrows on the floor, and I went, well, there's no arrows on the floor. Oh, but there is social distancing 2 meter tape. But there's no one there to like truly explain. And I mean, some of this is fairly self-evidential, but in the absence of a one-way system, carnage.
Hmm.
Well, it's not carnage because there's not that many people in the shop to be.
It's like going down. It's like getting in your car and there's two parked cars on either side, and you're there and you're in the supermarket and you're both going that way.
Yeah.
And you got your social distance. Who gives? Yeah. I'm not going back out this aisle, mate. I was fucking, I'm 3/4 of the way down the fucking aisle here.
There was a fella, right, and I was on the. It was the sweet tile, and he's in the middle, and he's looking, and I've come into one end, and there's a woman who's come in the other end, and he's fucking trapped, Chris. He's got no idea what to do. So he finishes, he gets what he gets, and he sees me, so he goes that way, and then he realises there's like a stock cart blocking one end, and the other woman at the end, and he goes, Should we ask to pull a Yui? So he pulls this Yui with his full shopping trolley, like wrenching it back round to go back, and he goes, and I have to like pin myself to the wall of it or whatever, and he gives us a nod and a little smile and goes on with it or whatever. But this is the thing, you know, it was the first time I went out. First time I went out again. It's mad. I feel like I've never shopped in. I haven't shopped in Sainsbury's in like my adult life, and I've been more times because they're the two nearest supermarkets to wherever the places I am. And the first time I went down, it was to pick up a. In fact, it was to, well, not here, but I pick up a microphone, and I ordered it from Argos. I was like, I need this for work. I'll go and pick it up from Argos. Dead easy, just down the road. No problem. Gets me out the house. It gives me. I've got a legitimate reason for going out. Great. And then I got to Sainsbury's, and the queue was up the block, and I was like, but I didn't get onto this until I walked to the front door and went, and I could feel the eyes of the world upon me, and it was like. And I could just see, like, in my head, like, you know, like a pan, like a camera pans down, and there's just all these angry people with their hands on their hips, waggling their necks at me for daring to break the code of the queue. Yeah, that was an awkward. But this is the point, we're all learning how the new society works.
I don't know, man. I mean, like, I reckon Tesco's are onto something because they put the beer as the last thing. Now, don't get me started on the fact that your trolley's already full when you're trying to get two crates of beer into it. That's fucking stupid. Yeah, literally. I had a Warburton's toast. It ended up being fucking pita bread by the end of it. But I'm there, and now I'm stuck between. So in some supermarkets and Tesco's Old Swans, one of them, where they've got that random bottom corner.
Yeah.
Well, the queue for the fucking tills goes up the fucking wine aisle. So what do I have to do? I have to go past everyone in the queue. Breaking social distance and things, breathing in like I used to walk when I was a kid walking past Goodison, not to fucking let anything near me. You did the same, yeah. Right. And so then I'm in the bottom corner. I'm like, fucking hell. I was like, oh, but that's a better offer. Okay, well I'll get that as well. But I can't go back. Oh well, I've just got three crates of beer, and well, that side is a good offer, isn't it? Well, I should really put that beer back, but I can't go back. Side, and Kat's like, what the fuck have you bought all that for? I'm like. I couldn't. Basically, they trapped me in the beer section and with great offers. So I just filled my trolley up and I went on with my day.
But and someone comes up behind you. It's like when you're trying to do like a parking on the road, and you just fuck it up that one too many times. And having someone behind you, just go. It's a perfectly legitimate space. If I'd just done it right, I'd be fine. But I didn't, so I'm gonna have to move on. I think that's a very clever marketing technique.
And then you get there, and then they're calling you in, and so I'm unloading my shopping, and then look up, and there's like fucking a barrier between me. And I'm like, oh, that's good, isn't it? And then he goes, you're too close, mate. There's a line on the floor. Oh, fucking not again. There's another fucking line on the floor. And then I broke his card machine.
How did you break his card machine?
Well, I knocked it with a fucking bag of shopping, and it went flying, and then it unconnected from the internet. And it went fucking flying up his thing, and I'm like, oh, no, I'm sorry, matey, I'll stick that back in.
Don't touch it. It's mad. We're having to learn everything. This is the thing again, semiotics and all that kind of stuff. We've learned how to exist in society in a certain way for so long, and to varying degrees people get it and people don't, and we're okay. I think we're still still young enough. The change is, it's annoying, but you can kind of wrap your head around it. But people have a slower and faster uptakes on these things, and you're right, it takes a number of visits to this thing. And that's the problem. We live in a society where we're intolerant of everyone. And I said this last week about like the fucking the social distance and Nazis, and I get it, like everyone's in this together and everyone's trying to protect their own interests and all that, but the people who are doing it from a distance and the people who are like telling people off for it, people are just assholes. And I think, you know, we're meant to be. I've enjoyed like going out for the walks with the kids, and just when you stand to one side and you let people pass if you're crossing on the, you know, the pavement or whatever, and just the smile and nods and the thank yous, it's a little bit more societal. It makes me feel happier. It reminds me that time we went to Liechtenstein and everyone like said hello, and it was like, what the frigging hell is this? Like being in like a 1950s wholesome American movie or whatever. But yeah, it's the way people are reacting to stuff. But I get it, like, because there's so many different sizes. Like I've had to say, remind my mum and dad to make sure, you know, like if people are ill, you don't go out the house. You've got Charlie's grandmother, who's like probably in her 80s or whatever, who we found out went down the co-op to buy yogurts.
yogurt.
Stay in the house, Shirley. Shirley, you don't need yogurt. Stay in the house. And you know what's worse?
Shirley's not on YouTube.
No, she's definitely not. She has no idea who I am, really, and what I do for a living. I provided more grandchildren, and that's fine. She's gone down the co-op. She's walked the co-op. She's gone in. In fact, no, tell a lie. She actually drove the co-op. She got in there. She looked at the price of the yogurts, decided the yogurts were too expensive, and then came home.
Wow.
So she's basically put her life on the line.
For some strawberry ski.
For some... yeah.
What are you doing?
And there must be countless stories
of this. Yogurts as well.
I just think... Truly old people, a lot of them, I just don't think they get it. And I think I'm not saying it's exclusively old people.
They've lived through the fucking war, they think this is ridiculous.
But you see that video, it was a couple of weeks ago now, and I'm sure a lot of people's tunes have changed, but it's like, not going to let the virus win. No, but you are. It's not terrorism. It's not terrorism, Francis. Get in the house. Get in the house. No, but I'm doing it. I'm doing it. So, you know, like, isolation, Nazism, we're all doing it. And it's all the people. And again, I get these reactions. So all those videos came out of the weekend of like the parks being full and loads of people and then going, and it's because everyone's doing it from their own perspectives. And I get this reaction. It's like, I've been sat in my house for 3 weeks, unable to leave, not going shopping, obeying every rule, and you're out necking in the park. Like, and as a result, the one like government regimented walk you're allowed to go on could end up being taken off everyone for all this kind of stuff. Like, but that
I must admit, like at the weekend, Kat wasn't well, and I thought, well, I'll get the kids out for a bit. I was like, I'll get in the car and I'll go down to the little, there's like that little loop park, for mm-hmm. want of a better word, near the Aldi on Gattaca Park Drive. Mm-hmm. Do you know the one I mean? It's just literally a fucking loop, and we've always took the kids there because it's flat. You can take the scooters there. I'll just get in the car and I'll go there. And I was like, no, I don't think that's allowed. So I didn't.
Yeah.
So in the end, I just went round the block instead because it doesn't really matter. It's much more dangerous because I live on Queen's Drive. Taking the kids out on a scooter, by the way.
Yeah.
But anyway, we did that.
And two of them, if it's just the one of you as well.
Yeah, exactly.
Because you chase after one, what's the other one doing?
Oh my goodness, another story. Anyway, what we did is we went back, and you know, little Northway bit,
mm-hmm.
Like a little circle, and we just very, very few cars, but they can go around on the road and stuff like that. So I'm there, and I'm like, well, we turned left because I always like to go clockwise because I'm a fucking dickhead like that. I always go clockwise around it. So they're scooting off ahead, and someone else come through the alleyway behind me, and I could see him, and he went, okay, right, I'll go the other way. So we went right around it, and then as we were walking, they've cut the bushes so you can see like the entrance on the road, and someone else came that way round, and he was heading for them, and we were fine, and then I had to turn back around, and he'd followed me, and then we'd all doing exactly the same.
He's like synced
three
up.
Of us were just fucking looping around this small park.
Like Skeletrix.
It's fucking brilliant. That's
amazing.
This is fucking class.
It's actually something you touched upon there, I think is really interesting about this, is because... We went out, so we took the kids for a walk yesterday. So like round Dovecot, Knotty Ash, and we needed some shopping. So we stopped at like a little the Tesco Metro or whatever on the way back, and I went in and they went and hung out on the corner away from everyone, and you know, and she come back. When I come back, my wife was like, I felt really uncomfortable because everyone's looking at me. Because and this is what we've got, and it's weird. And I don't feel this as acutely, and some of this comes from the fact that I'm kind of used to being the centre of attention in what I do and all that kind of stuff. And I work behind a bar for years and years where everyone's always looking at you when you're behind the bar because someone always wants a bevy and all that kind of stuff. Like, so being watched doesn't concern me as much. But but there's this thing, we have this a lot, and sometimes it's psychological, it's anxiety. So like what anxiety is your body's natural reaction to keeping you alert for predators.
It's just, you just make it.
Yeah, exactly. So like but this is being turned into overdrive because she's acutely aware of all the stuff, and she has suffered with some issues around anxiety and all that kind of stuff. But she's now, we're all doing this to varying degrees. We're all mentally justifying every action that we're taking. So the second we step out the door, you've almost got your list of, if anyone was to ask me what am I doing, I've got that pre-prepared for that. We were saying it about having to work. You know, there's certain things that we can do remotely But unfortunately, there's certain things that you can't do remotely if you still want to be employed come the end of the crisis and all this. And I know she's having a big issue with it, and as a knock-on effect, I'm thinking about it more and more. There was just one, like, we had one today where I stopped in a shop again, and when I came out, the guy at the till went, said, "Oh, is that you, are they with you outside?" And I was like, "Yeah," and I immediately thought, Why is he asking? Like, there's nothing wrong with it. They can stand outside, out there if they want. And I got outside and they had two freeze pops. And she was like, some fella just come out and give me these. And I was like, oh, that's nice. And she was like, no, it's weird. Why is someone coming out and doing that? Had they been touching them? What's the deal with all that? We're meant to be social distancing and blah, blah, blah. And then I put two and two together. The guy behind the counter had thought they were with the fella in front of me in the queue and had gone. Go and grab some freezes out the freezer for the kids to have.
Oh.
But we were so het up and pent up about what direction, what people are thinking and all this kind of stuff, that like we didn't click on. We got like 10 steps down the road and I went,
duh.
He's gone, go and give them to the kids. And she was like, oh, that sounds not some random young fella who's just handed some fucking sweets to the kids, kids effectively, but was so on edge about every single action that we take. That it's such a weird it's another one of those weird things.
It's like you're a fucking star destroyer and you have to turn your shields down to turn your sensors up.
Yeah,
you know what I mean. Like, you can't have everything running at optimal things, but our sensors are the things now that we're fucking all onto all the time. Like, yeah. And it's like, what are they doing over there? Why are they family? Like, I drove here today.
Yeah,
and I was like, oh yeah, they are family. That looks like a mother and daughter.
Yeah.
And I caught myself and I was like, you're a prick, Chris.
Yeah.
You're an absolute prick. Why are you doing that?
We've started looking more. And I noticed this, like, again, when I was driving into the Sainsbury's and everyone in the queue, everyone's looking because everyone's out and everyone's looking for something to do and you're not on your phones. It's like a merge. It's like the bit in the end of Wally when they all finally get off the ship, you know what I mean? Like, you know, and it's like, well, what is this? You know, but everyone's looking at it and because you judge, I know I do a bit, I have exactly the same thing as that, you can't help but go, how close are they? Are they allowed to be close? Do they share a house? It's up to me, you know what I mean? What am I going to do about it? Hey, lads, are you related? Yeah. Oh, sorry. Shut up, you gobshite. Absolute fucking knobhead. You know what I mean? You deserve to be a gobshite. But you're right, we've all got these pre-programmed things, but the problem is because we do it, we then presume everyone else is doing it back. And by the way, everyone else is doing it back.
100%
but that just builds up this sense of anxiety around it, and it's very difficult to tune that down. And when I have been able to, I've enjoyed my walks. I've enjoyed like going out for a good solid hour walk with the kids, find a nice straight road or whatever. And we're lucky that the park is anywhere is in walking distance. We've got a park that we go to and it's never so chockered that it would be an issue. But it's mad that all these stupid knock-on effects to absolutely everything that's happening as well.
It's a bit baffling, to be honest, and you wonder what it's going to be like. This is the start of it, and I wonder whether it's going to calm down or whether it's going to get worse, to be honest with you.
Yeah, it is, and I think we're kind of doubly everyone chill out a bit, and then the other hand I think about experience and think, oh no one should chill out, everyone should be really, really, you know, really on this. Like, we've had the thing this week where Charlie's stepmom, her dad passed away from coronavirus, and that's absolutely horrendous. So like, my sister-in-law's lost her granddad, their kids have lost their great-granddad, all that kind of stuff. And it's all of a sudden, and I think a lot of stuff that people don't get onto with all of this is, of course, first and foremost, you're looking after you and yours. You look after yourself, and then you're looking after the health of the people in the immediate surroundings of you. But it's those knock-on effects, and it's what's mad that's happening, and it's really a really worrying thing. And it hits home when someone you know, someone from your life, just isn't there anymore as a result of this. And all those arguments about, like, the flu kills more people. I was chatting to someone the other day, and he said, someone died. If he got the flu, he'd have died as well. I said, but he didn't get the flu. He got coronavirus and he's done. And it, you know, if coronavirus didn't exist, he'd probably be up.
A bit nuts, to be honest with you, Paul, because it's like, look, I'm not having a fucking go at people now, but something that some people don't believe in vaccines.
Yeah.
This is the world without one vaccine.
Yeah.
Imagine a world without vaccines.
Yeah. I was saying to someone about the flu thing. Is the flu, there is a, you know, you can have your flu shot, you get the thing up the nose, don't you? Like, old people can go and get their immunizations on a yearly basis, and the flu still kills more people than coronavirus. So imagine if you didn't have the immunizations, how bad the flu would actually be. But the flu is as contained as you can make it. And whereas you're right, the coronavirus is at the moment, there's no cure for it. It's those things. What when you realize it, and it, we're going to be doing this. This is going to be like we'll be documenting this stuff in the weeks to come. Almost the various stages and the realizations. And some people are well ahead of the curve on this. Like I know my cousin's wife was like bang on this from like the first moment they started to rear its head. She knew she's been like socially distancing before you had to socially distance. But it is those things now where it's gone from being abstract to being sort of a little bit removed to when, and then eventually when you know someone who's been directly, because you've got I've had family members who've had it, but no, we didn't die from it. When you start to lose people, you start to realise the other chain of events is, where are people getting it? And the amount of, and it's not you getting it, it's not about your life, it's about passing it on to a random person.
There's also another side of it, and I agree with everything you said, and I'm not trying to change the subject, but there's almost a social shame coming about it now as well, which I don't like, mm-hmm. is because anybody can catch it, and you can be washing your hands, and you can still get it,
yeah.
right? And you can be putting social distancing measures in, but if you just touch one thing
yeah.
that you shouldn't have, and now there's like this thing where like, that people are ashamed that they've caught it and shouldn't be. It's yeah. a fucking virus. It can get fucking anybody. And I don't like that side of things as well, because that's putting a mental fucking strain on people as well.
I had that very much. Like, in my early days of being free of it and coming out. And like I'm like, I've had it, I'm over it. I'm two things. I should therefore have immunity, which means that the risk for me contracting it again has been greatly, greatly reduced. But also, I'm done and dusted with it. I know, you know, so I don't. I know I can't then give it. I'm past the period, so it's fine.
But you can still give it to people.
But the people who then, it's just, yeah, you get this sense of like the feeling of leprosy that comes with it and stuff is a very very unusual thing.
Yeah, but, I mean, like, look, you know, you've had it, so you're okay. But if you touch a surface and carry it somewhere else, then you can.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Hey, it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget? Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's quince.com/upgrade.
Hey, Dave.
Yeah, Randy.
Since we founded Bombas, we've always said our socks, underwear, and T-shirts are super soft. Any new ideas?
Maybe sublimely soft.
Or disgustingly cozy.
Wait, what?
I got it. Bombas. Absurdly comfortable essentials for yourself
and for those facing homelessness,
because one purchased equals one donated.
Wow, did we just write an ad?
Yes.
Bombas, big comfort for everyone. Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase.
Still transmitted to somebody else, can't you? You know what I mean? Not from you personally, but somebody else's germs or whatever.
Yeah.
So you still have to be dead careful anyway.
Yeah, the whole thing is balmy, like, but yeah, it does when it starts to hit home, and that's the thing. I think that it's mad, and that's why I understand people's outrage, and I understand people's judgment, and I understand all this. I don't like it, but I get it. Because, you know, people, ultimately we do all think of ourselves first and foremost, and we think of that the most vulnerable people in our families, and, you know, there's people at risk. You know, David wouldn't have died if it wasn't for coronavirus. He had, and this is also that thing that was a really dislike, he wasn't 100% healthy, but he also wasn't going to die anyway. You know what I mean? So, but he'll fall into the two categories, which are this, like the underlying health problems. So people go, well, I don't have any underlying health problems, so I'm fine. It's not true. And the fact that people are starting to just become numbers. Like, people look at these, and I've done it. People go into me like, the death count has dropped off, you know what I mean? Like, it's not rising or whatever, and it's like...
It is rising.
Well, yeah, but whatever.
It's just not as many as yesterday.
Yeah, you know.
But it's a mental thing, that, and it's totally wrong. It's like, so Spain, let's say, as an example, 1,000 people died. Yesterday, 1,200 died. The death count's dropped off. Now 1,000 people fucking died, mate. Yeah. It's like, yeah. Oh, you mean it's not as much as the day before? Still 1,000 people, and yeah, it's too many for your brain to compute that as well.
Exactly. And I wonder whether you have this, and that, you know, why people in governments refer to things like, you've seen Trump talking about war, and Boris Johnson, I think, did it early days, and all that kind of stuff. Like, is that? You think about like the World War II generals for whom they knew the grunts going into battle are just cannon fodder, and you're just gonna get people getting mowed down. But that you have to overwhelm by superiority of numbers.
It's chess and the pawns, innit?
Yeah,
you send them out, and you know what's gonna happen to them. Very rare that a fucking pawn gets to the other side of the board, and it becomes a fucking general.
And that's it. And you know, but you've got people. It's like the higher up you get, you realise that they are. You are so inconsequential to them that they are prepared. They're looking at the headline numbers on things. And to some people, I agree. You know, when it comes to like experts, there's people who have to look beyond the emotion of stuff to get to the reality of it. But I dislike that, because there's so many people. Again, it's people are losing. You know, and the thing I know that my wife is struggling with most, having seen this now, and the knock-on effect it's had on her side of the family, is it's. You might never know, but you could be the person killing off someone's grandparents, and that family's then losing the grandparent because of all that. And that is we're all more naturally anxious human beings, you know, and maybe that's because it's been more identified or whatever, but we all have anxieties far more prevalently, I think, than any generation has done prior to that. And that's why it's very, and people are talking about mental health, it's very hard. You've got to find that balance. We did a bit of wrapping up on it last week about finding, making sure that you're keeping your head on, because there's only so much you can impact.
Yeah.
And you know, it's it is a mad world. On the Boris Johnson stuff, I mentioned it. I don't, obviously he's in intensive care at the moment. I don't really want to go too heavily on it kind of thing. Like, but I can't help but like, I if he comes out of it. He comes out of it, and I don't know. I don't want. I said this at the time. I wouldn't wish it on anyone, because it's horrible. And if he's worse, if he's in intensive care, then that's an horrendous thing. But it's you see things that make things real, like the Prime Minister being in intensive care. It makes it real. I mean, did you watch any of the Queen's speech thing at the weekend?
I didn't watch it live. I caught a couple of minutes on like BBC News, maybe.
I think that's the kind of thing that makes it real for an older generation, but also the cynicism that generated of like Queen Elizabeth sat in there many, many massively, you know. I wonder
she's been self-isolating for years.
I know, honestly. Yeah.
She's sound with
social distancing by like royal decree. All those things, like I have actually quite enjoyed the reaction to the Queen stuff about, can we just make Buckingham Palace like a hospital or something for this time? Like, I think people are starting to realise we've done a lot on the football stuff, because obviously Liverpool had the furlough and stuff this week, and we talked about how you realise that football is just low. The good stuff that football is your emotion of watching the football itself, and then the rest of it is just feel good branding that they generate around it. Other than that, it's just a bit of a crappy business. But I like the fact that people are starting to clock on, because I'm not a monarchist, you know what I mean, particularly. I don't see the point of it. Just so I don't like all the pomp and circumstance around it, because she's just an old lady who happened to be born into a certain family and all that kind of stuff. But I like the fact that more and more people are getting onto this fact of like, what is it you do? What is your purpose?
She brings in 300 million a year.
Tourism, well, not now. So what is your purpose now? Yeah, she should be doing the fucking daily updates.
Do you know what? I want
value for money from my queen.
Right, first of all, the daily updates shouldn't be done by government. They should not be done by any government fucking politician.
Yeah.
No way. Why? Why not just fucking give us the experts?
Mm. That's a good point.
Why the fuck are we listening to fucking...
Well, Boris Johnson was tainting them for me, because I, like, guilty by association. They had the chief medical officer, and even though I knew he was an expert, him being stood next to Boris Johnson made his opinion less credible to me, weirdly, because, again, guilty, because you stood next to a buffoon. And again, if he's dead between now and then,
all
it makes
I
sound like
to
I'm
know.
Speaking ill of the dead. I'm not. My opinion of him won't change. I don't think he's a good human being, whether he's alive or dead. But he taints the reputation.
You know,
why
do they need to force themselves into the issue? Well, if you were a good prime minister, you would give the people the fucking experts and let them tell you what's going on, and that's it.
Is it
and
a legitimacy then, thing, though? You know,
no,
like
no,
something.
No,
you
because
feel
they
like
want to be fucking the person who solved this.
Yeah.
They want to be able to put this on their CV after it's all over and go, Boris Johnson saved fucking the UK from coronavirus, tick, and he's front and centre in every fucking video from every day, and everybody's looking at him and they're listening to his voice and blah blah fucking blah. Just give us the fucking experts. Why do I need him there?
Devil's advocate on this. If he's not there, the people say, where's the strong leadership coming from?
Why can't he just walk into the room and go, right, okay, here's the experts?
Yeah. Because he doesn't know. It's the point. He's defers. He's reading from a script. I mean, Trump is the worst example of this at the moment. Like,
Trump
can't...
fucking goes against what the experts are saying. You see them, like,
yeah,
no one's dying.
The Michael Spicer stuff all that is absolutely unreal. But yeah, he's not. Yeah, he's doing. He's the example of that.
And also, sorry, Paul, the Queen, right? She brings in things. They literally just come and see the palace, lads.
Yeah.
Doesn't need anyone to live there.
Oh yeah,
they
yeah,
come
yeah.
and have a look at the palace.
Yeah,
whether she's fucking alive and kicking
they're
or not.
They're not going to see her.
No, exactly. No one sees her.
Yeah.
We
can see her brushing her teeth through a bathroom window.
Exactly, you know what I mean? Everyone,
I'm sure they'd have some sort of frosted glass.
Oh, of course they would. They're yeah. all on that in Buckingham Palace.
Yeah, all over. you're right. The monarchy, it's made us all realise, I think, the amount of stuff that's just completely superfluous in our lives, the stuff that is just horseshit. And I like that, you know, I've enjoyed the slowing down side of things. You said this a bit last week about just taking things in your stride a little bit more, and you realise that there's no... barring there's obvious circumstances and obvious things in life where it benefits from you having your foot flat to the floor, you know what I mean, like really really push the needle into the red line, use racing analogies and all that kind of stuff, but most stuff really you can just take a deep breath, take a step back, roll your shoulders, you know what I mean, and kind of barrel into it at your own pace. But yeah, I love the idea that I can't wait to see what comes out of all of this. I can't wait. I think there'll be some bad things, like handshakes are probably gone. I know there's a lot of people who don't like handshakes, but I like the weirdness of handshakes.
Where did they come from?
Yeah,
wasn't it because something to do with if you're shaking someone's hand, you can't be pulling a gun on them.
Might be,
like, wasn't it something random like
I'm
that?
Sure,
like,
it'd
you
be,
know,
yeah.
you know what I mean? It's like, that's why you did it, so they could see your hand and you didn't have a gun in it, or yeah. something random.
I enjoy all the, and it's gonna be, because again, we're an anxious society. It's probably gonna mean an end to handshakes, fist bumps, and the kissing women on the cheek thing, and they're all really awkward social situations.
See, my family have always done the three kisses.
What's how? What, left, right, middle?
Left, right, left.
Oh, right.
I think, I don't know whether it was a family thing or my uncle did it, and so everybody just did it. Like,
yeah.
So that was something that's a bit strange. Like, but like
the Kevin, I could have told the Nolan family, not the musicians, the Kevin Nolan, former Bolton West and current West Ham assistant manager. The men in his family, and by connection, all of their really good friends, all kiss each other on the lips when they meet. It's proper Godfather stuff. It's fucking hilarious. And you're like, the first time you see it happen, it's a bit like, because they're all like,
what are they doing now?
Honestly, they probably don't love each other anymore. It's mad. They're proper barely Scouse men, all brilliant fellas. I spent a bit of time with them when they all drank in a pub I managed, and I can't actually remember the full thing when they went left, right, in the centre, whether they just would meet and like maybe shake hands and kiss, but it was like
quite awkward.
Yeah,
bizarre that.
Yeah, it is. But that's all over. But part of me is relieved, and I'm not. I don't mind social situations and all that kind of stuff.
What are you going for?
I think we're going to end up like Demolition Man, where they do like the high five, go for high five, and then they go and wave the hands around. There's going to have to be something, because there's too many really anxious, overly anxious people, and there's people who like don't leave the house because they freak out. They don't know how to shake a hand, what the handshake's going to be, and they overthink all these kind of things. But I fear that all that will go. Like hug. On a slightly serious point, hugs are amazing. Like there is like proof, there's evidence, there's biological, there are positive biological proof, you know, proof that hugs are good for you. Think about like even like from things like treating like certain people who are autistic and all that kind of stuff. Like how much of a natural endorphins are released by being hugged, and that's when I realised this with my kids, is that having a hug off my kids, just if I'm having a bad portion of my day, and that's been one thing about being working from home and being around them more, having that, you at least get those kind of lifts. But like, think about all these mad things in life that, for better for worse, I know, and again, I know tons of people who would be happy to see the back of handshakes. They hate handshakes. They just, yeah, we might grow up in a world where our kids don't know what a handshake is.
See, the handshakes, there's nothing wrong with handshakes, but there's a judgment thing to handshakes that I don't get and don't like. It's like, well, you know, it's weak, that one, eh? What? Because yeah. I didn't want to hurt your hand, lad.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Is that me being nice, or is that, oh, fucking hell, that's a good handshake? Really, like?
Yeah.
Are we judging on how good our handshakes are?
You know why this is? It's because we're a generation of people raised by television, and this is a construct of TV of, like, powerful men give powerful handshakes kind of horseshit. And it was interesting, so I watched the Broken Skull Sessions, Stone Cold Steve Austin interview and The Undertaker, and it was a throwaway comment, but they alluded to what's known as like the working handshake, and these super tough men, and I think what it is that these super, super tough men give deliberately really weak handshakes just to throw people off for a laugh. So it's like you're in on the joke. You get it. You don't need to prove yourself as being a manly man, because look at you, you're 6'5" and you're 300 pounds or whatever. But yeah, you're right, the handshake thing's mad. But equally, can I ask you, when you go in for a handshake and someone gives you a really wet, weak,
I mean wet,
like, you know, not literally wet, but you know what I mean. You know what I mean by wet, like a wet like kitchen roll, like, you know what I mean, that kind of like. Just I feel violated when someone doesn't actually meet your handshake. Yeah. Do you not find that odd when you go to shake someone's hand and they give you
a little bit? I don't hang out with people like that, Paul.
Aubrey does it all the time. Aubrey's got a really weak handshake.
I see, yeah. He's got such small hands.
Yeah, he's got very small hands. Sorry, Aubrey. I don't know if he's watching, but yeah.
Smell like cabbage.
Getting on with your life, and then just randomly having your hands slaughtered like it's 20 years ago. But yeah, we're going to have all these things go. There's a couple of things I want to bring up, Chris. That we got from comments and what have you last week. Deadpool in the comments said Chris's moustache definitely makes him look like he should be on a list. That's not nice. A list, and you didn't put my reply in there. I think, like, a list of awesome people. No, okay.
I hurt my feelings, that one.
Yeah. And we asked people for positive stories to spread. We were looking to spread some positivity. We wanted to get some goodness into people's lives, and nobody took us up on that in any way, shape, or form. Apart from Mustache His, which is mad that we've got a mustache theme going on. Positive for me is that my wanking game has gone to an almost Olympic level. This has shown me I was half-arsing it pre-virus. I was there, but I wasn't present, if you get me. It could have been anyone's hand, to be honest. I will keep you posted on my progress in the form of a photo collage. Please,
I tell you what, I mean, I'd rather go back to, it could have been anyone's hand. In these times, like, you need a bit of variety. Is the spice of
the
life.
Stranger.
Yeah, you know what I mean? Just fucking paint your nails around the back of the curtain after you've sat on your hand for 5 minutes, so it doesn't actually feel like yours and it's completely dead, and you're sorted.
That's never ever done that in the comments, otherwise that's really weird. Which is kind of par for the course, I guess, at this point, really, isn't it? There was... anything else you want to talk about that you've seen or impacted you this week?
I don't think anything's really impacted me this week, to be honest.
I did think it was funny because, again, two things actually, random cultural references for the time, was PlayStation unveiled the PS5 controller, and I only found out by this because Xbox controller was trending, and it's just basically everyone going, why have they just made the pad look like the Xbox controller? And it got me into that. I briefly looked through what people were tweeting about it, and I realised that I'm a bit too old for that any more like the console wars stuff, and I've riled a few people up with random comments on this. I remember saying that if you liked when Liverpool were linked with Nike originally, and I'd said that like Nike and Xboxes are basically for like teenage virgins, and we're all gonna have to get used to Nike, aren't we? So we're all gonna have that. But yeah, there's the console war thing. It was a thing when we were kids, so I get it. But it's funny how things like that don't concern you when you get into this. But loads of people still very, very tribal about their Xbox and PlayStation.
Yeah, do you know, Paul, it's exactly the same with footy and footy Twitter. Yeah. And it's all this mad stuff. Like, RCD, you know, Everton fan, he has given us dogs abuse this week for Liverpool furlough and stuff. Like, it's my fault. Yeah. I'm like, I'm like, it's nothing to do with me, mate.
I genuinely didn't have a hand in the decision.
Yeah, like, what are you? Why? Oh, because, you want to get the upper hand? Why are you doing this in a family WhatsApp? you're not trying to get the upper hand. You're trying to shame me in front of other people.
Yeah.
For something I didn't do.
Yeah.
I'm not engaging this shit with
but
you.
But it's one of those, isn't it? Because you realise this. There's a great Mitchell and Webb sketch about that. And guy goes, we won and you got beat. It's like, you didn't. You mean we? You didn't win. Why do we talk? You know, and we talk about. It's funny that we talk about football like we have an impact on it, but then also, we obviously don't. We're all complicit in this.
Yes.
Nobody blames me when someone misses a penalty. No one turns around to me and blames me for it. I don't. People can abuse me for Liverpool getting knocked out because they know I care. But to somehow suggest that like Liverpool fans are like, Liverpool, look, you should look at your club and blah blah blah. It's like, oh, mate.
Yeah, I am, and I'm pissed off.
Yeah,
but you telling me doesn't make me pissed off. Like, I'm pissed off enough as it is. Thanks.
When we were walking the other day, these two half fellas walked past, and they went to him. Oh, it's him off that Liverpool YouTube channel, and I went, oh, hiya, gents, you're all right. And he went, well, league's been cancelled, lads. I was like, fucking ever tell you, gosh, shit. Yeah, you do. If you fall into that, the PS5 controller. I love the fact that people just love, and this goes back to this thing. Everyone just loves something. Everyone needs these things. Everyone needs things to hate. Everyone needs things to have opinions over.
I don't get it, mate. I used to be like that so much, but now it just all passes me by. Like, yeah. Someone sends me. Look, don't get me wrong, if there are videos on WhatsApp and I pass them along and I think they're funny and all that type of stuff, but there's just some banal shit that's not worth my attention.
Yeah.
Like, I think, I'm not digging anyone else here, someone posted a fucking, something with a Simpsons thing with Liverpool faces on and them doing a U-turn. I was like, that's fucking shit though, isn't it?
Yeah.
You know what I mean? That's fucking shit. And like, half of this stuff, like Xbox pad looking like fucking places, where are you going to go? Like, what do you want? 7 legs on it?
Yeah.
It doesn't fit in your hands then, does
yeah.
it? You know what I mean? Yeah. It's like, we got the 4 buttons. They've pretty much perfected it. They're just fucking styling it. Like, yeah, it's white. Yeah, it doesn't look as good as black. Are you still going to buy it? Yeah, then shut the fuck up.
Yeah.
Shut the fuck up now.
We've got this culture of, because this is what the internet has done with comments and all that. And we all play our part in all of this. But yeah, giving people constant platforms for opinions on stuff. Star Wars is the perfect example of this, is that it's now, there's just a culture of people who hate Star Wars, and they don't hate, they're actually people who love Star Wars, but they hate Star Wars. So anytime Star Wars puts something out, they have to jump on and give their critical opinion of it, because there's been there's like an industry built up around making, this is why Star Wars is shit stuff. And this, you've got this around the gaming side of things. So like, there's a load of people going, seeing this PS5 controller picture and going, oh, it's shit. This is given this, like, I saw someone saying, yet another misstep from Sony on this new console, and then normally followed up with like, I think I'll move to Xbox this time or something. You're like, go ahead. You've not, like, pick it up. It's not about what it looks like. It's about, you know what I mean? Have a go. Wait till it comes out. Reserve. Try your best to reserve judgments until you've actually
used, seen.
And I saw this in the lead up, because so WrestleMania happened at the weekend, and all the thing in the build up to it was, this is going to be terrible, because all apart, I'd not been watching the build up stuff to it, like the Raws and Smackdowns and stuff, but like empty arena stuff, I've seen some clips, it looks awful, and I'll be honest, it was rubbish. WrestleMania was rubbish. There were some good points to it. There was some, you know, you can see the athleticism and you can see when people who are really good at the game. And you, if you can boil it down to what it is, which is effectively, you know, it's male performance. It's like watching a circus act, effectively. Then, in that regard, I enjoyed certain aspects of it. But you also, you know, two things. For the people who were like, wrote it off before seeing it, probably give it a chance. And I expect there's a lot of people who then got some enjoyment out of it, because that's the nature of art and entertainment and what have you. But what a weird experience. There's loads of people who would immediately go, whenever you mention wrestling, loads of people just naturally roll their eyes. Oh, it's fake. Yeah, I know. So is EastEnders, but people still watch it.
So is every movie in the world. Yeah, so is every computer game in the world.
Exactly. People watch and engage in these things in their droves. It, you know, it's not actually known as a sport. They deliberately did that to get around like tax and all that kind of stuff. Like, that's why it's called entertainment. But like, two things. I enjoyed the fact that they actually put some entertainment on, but I also realised how crap wrestling actually is. I enjoyed loads of parts of it, but I'd be interested to know what happens with football, this, because the empty arena stuff, when you're for wrestling, I watched
feeding off the crowd,
exactly,
sure.
The crowd is so integral to all of that, and I wonder, because I'm now all on the let's just play foot, complete the season, but let's have it played safely behind closed doors, because I just want to watch some footy. But I haven't seen WrestleMania, and I know it's different, because again, it's fake, so all the stuff that you can get away with being fake doesn't matter, because the spectacle of it is what drives you on. So the audience, if the audience believes it, you believe it. It suspends your disbelief, because everyone's bought into the illusion of wrestling. When you take that away, you're left with a lot of very awkward grunting and smack talk, fake smack talk. What are your thoughts on if footy has to come back behind closed doors?
If footy comes back behind closed doors, it's a television product.
Yeah.
And as such, they should put some fucking noise behind it.
Yeah.
And it's that simple,
yeah,
to be honest with you. Because
so fake crowd noise?
Yeah. Why not? Make it a package and tighten the camera angle if you need to.
Yeah.
Change that so you're not seeing it, so you are actually fucking tricking people into it in that regard.
Yeah.
Because the game's still the game. It might actually be easier for the players to actually play, although they might not like it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, as far as focus goes, that will probably help them in some ways, although they are laser focused, I'm sure, anyway. So if you want to make it a television package, make it a television package.
Yeah. No, it's because that was the one thing.
Because they do it anyway.
Yeah. I was thinking.
They do it anyway. They pipe the away things in louder sometimes in the home and blah blah blah, and that depends on where the mic's positioned, I suppose.
Yeah,
doesn't it?
Yeah.
So
I was thinking this about the WrestleMania stuff. There was a couple of times when I just thought, just play some music, have some music in the background of it, heavy metal music. I used to work on the PS1 games. They didn't have commentary. I didn't realise this until I went back and played the early SmackDown games, and the rubbish, because it's just no commentary and it's just like, yeah, it's got like a heavy metal track, but it was better than if there'd been silence. And what they actually did, which I thought was interesting, and this doesn't work for footy, but they added sound effects in because it was all pre-recorded. Mm. So like, someone gets it with the bell, they actually added the bell ding and all that. So you can add to the package. But when you consider that you're able to put like 3D graphics in place, and you can digitally put sponsors in there, you could potentially like computer generate. They're doing a virtual national.
So this is fucking brilliant, right? So I'm watching the virtual national on Saturday, and I've got the girls with me, and Kat's having a lie down, and we're there, and we've got money on Tiger, all fuming, by the way, and and I've got money on something red, anyway, another one fell, fucking gutted, and the fucking horse wins, and they've got that virtual crowd, and Robin goes, why are they allowed out? And it's fucking fake people.
Yes, job done. Special effects.
14. Take a fucking 5-year-old into it. Why are they allowed that?
They should fucking. They should just be speaking to. Liverpool should just be speaking to FIFA, because they're an officially licensed club, and saying, can we just have your crowd? Can we just like CGI the FIFA crowd into Anfield? So like that, and the noise, that it's all pre-recorded, it's all there, it's all virtual.
It's not 90 minutes long, is it?
Could be. I mean, maybe, you know, I don't know if you can do that on these modern games. You could do it on kickoff on the Atari, yeah, back in the day, proper 90 minute games.
Terrible idea.
700-0.
Yes.
But no, I think that they should, because that's one thing that can be learned, that sport can learn from these kind of things, is that there's some things that work, I think, and I think ultimately the spectacle of footy, because you can watch football with the sound off.
Yeah.
And if you understand footy, it'll be fine. If you, and this is the thing about wrestling, I've watched wrestling enough and I enjoy it as a, I'm hesitant to use the word art form, but you get me, it's performers, you know, the people at the peak of their craft are very good at the craft.
I think you've got to offer it no sound, completely no sound, because I'd want to hear what the players are shouting,
mm-hmm.
because that would be really interesting, mm-hmm. to me. Or you've got to have not an in between, just the two of them,
yeah.
with some fucking crowd noise, completely empty, mm-hmm. so I can hear everything.
Yeah.
They're the two options. Like,
yeah, absolutely. Yeah, that's interesting stuff. Let us know your suggestions at home. What would you do? You know, you start with the black patch. You mentioned it on the Red Men podcast this week about how Dana White is looking to have the UFC move to a private island and all that kind of stuff. Yeah, exactly. We've talked about this, like the World Cup style camp happening for England. There's some great opportunities here. Like, I thought, you know, I was interested to watch WrestleMania because Vince McMahon is a genius, and as a result, Triple H and Stephanie, who do a lot of the running these days, or most of the running these days, are very good, and they love the craft and they love the industry. So they're gonna make interesting decisions. I wanted to see it for what it was, but the point is, it ended up being pre-recorded, and you knew it was pre-recorded, and that stole something away from it for me. Like, they did this Undertaker Boneyard match, and it was shot like a Hollywood movie, and it was fine, but it was like the conceit is that wrestling's real. And that was very much the conceit that wrestling's not real, which I didn't sit with me. But with football, there's an opportunity here to take something from the virtual national and from the virtual. What's the virtual? You've been watching the virtual F1.
So they do full qualifying. They've got people in the fucking studio and everything discussing it. And they've got they had Johnny Herbert, Lando Norris actually driving the cars and stuff.
Oh, really?
Like that. Like, yeah. So it's a bit random, like, because it's. You think, wow, this is just a fucking F1 race, and then all of a sudden something fucking mad happened, like fucking fourth will take out third on the last corner because he just does what we all do in a driving race, in the last corner, just straight, and hopes that he bounces in to the turn right, and that's what happens. And like Lando, I can't remember if it was Lando on the first one or someone got fucking knocked out the race on the last lap and all that type of stuff. But that was really, really good fun, like. But that was just gaming. It wasn't really a virtual F1.
Yeah.
It was well marketed, but it was just watching people game.
Because they had this, again, on the WWE Network, they did the WrestleMania Dream matches. And they had the current game, 2K, WWE 2K, whatever the fuck it's called, 2K20. And then they had either the wrestlers themselves on Skype or whatever, be it with the presenter talking it through, but they weren't playing it, which was the one thing. But it was fun, and sometimes they had random people in there. But there's one where there's a wrestler called Sasha Banks, and she's fighting Trish Stratus in it, like, so a virtual created match, and she's like properly getting into it because she doesn't want to lose, she doesn't want to see her character lose. And you can see she starts and she's getting closer to the camera and getting closer and closer, and she's getting kind of something. It was crap ultimately, like, oh, right. but there's like, because the game's crap by all accounts, like, but there's definitely something that all of these, there's little bits and pieces that I think they can do to make this, but they won't. It will be the most dull, simple. It will be exact, because football doesn't create original ideas anymore. You know, the outside things, the things around it do, but I think the core of football, if Sky Sports get hold of this, it's just going to be, it'll be the host and presenters presenting via Skype. It will be the bare minimum number of cameras just recording the football in an empty stadium, and they might have, you know, like, they'll play You'll Never Walk Alone if Liverpool are the home team, or they'll play Blue Moon or whatever if it's Man City and all that kind of stuff, and they'll have a VT package as normal, but like, There must be something good they can do with it. Let us know.
Yeah, I think everyone's pretty much working on skeleton staff as well. That's got to be taken into consideration, hasn't it? If they had all the graphic guys all working, they might be able to do something. But the mad thing is, like, it's not the side on camera that's going to be an issue, is it? It's the behind the it's the spider cam.
Yeah.
Or something like that. When a free kick's being taken on the edge of the area, there's no hiding the fact that that's a completely empty, or a penalty.
Yeah.
Like, that's a completely empty stadium.
Let's be honest, we've been ripping the piss out of Man City for years now, that you can see every empty seat in that stadium, and that's when they've got, they are 75% full.
Still, still sold out.
Yeah.
Yes. They'll put the fucking figures out, won't
they? Sold out. Absolutely. Yeah, so yeah, you're right. It'd be interesting to see what they do. You know, the worst answer is, it's goal music, isn't it?
It's what?
Goal music.
Oh, no.
That's what they'll do.
I tell you what, they're going to need someone better than Tyler on commentary with no sound.
But that's one thing about the wrestling. There's one fight where they started this technical, really technical, like, oh, you're going for a grip here, like to make it real, a bit like MMA kind of stuff, where you're feeling each other out in a silent arena. And then the commentators are kind of not talking over. You need the comment. I wonder whether there's something to do the BT thing about having the three. Or Sky do it with Carragher and Neville, don't they? You'd more commentators just to cover it up, maybe. I remember
ESPN Monday Night Football did something two seasons ago in the NFL where they got one of the commentators out of the booth on a fucking chair that was like 12 foot up, and he had essentially a railway track down the pitch, so it was just fucking motorised, and so as they go further up the pitch, he'd always be online with it, and so he was always radio miking into the two main commentators, but he was the third man in the booth, but he was on a chair, which was just random as fuck, like, so that would be kind of like the height of an umpire chair in tennis,
yeah,
on a fucking track up and down the length of the pitch
on the spider cam.
That would be wicked. See, there you go.
Yeehaw.
There you go. That's what you need.
Jamie Carragher and the cowboy hat.
Job done.
Yeah, I think we've nailed that. Should we purge?
Yeah.
Purge.
I don't know what I'm purging this week.
I'm a bit undecided on this because I'm feeling just generally more laissez-faire about life, I think. And I've also kind of got a little bit out of my system already. So, my wife downloaded TikTok this week, and I said to her, you need to get onto it because you'll love it, because she sits there. It's mad how I find it, it's interesting because we've been more around each other. I'm paying more attention to it naturally. I've never really thought about it, is that she doesn't really watch YouTube. She binge watches box sets on Netflix or whatever, and she watches like Facebook video a lot, so she gets into black holes on Facebook Watch.
Really?
Yeah. So
Facebook
she,
video? I've yeah, never met anyone who watches it.
Yeah, but it's obviously the big thing, and it's weird. I noticed it's on like it's the second tab over on hers, which not, I don't know where the watch tab is, or I think it might even be a separate thing on Android, I don't know, but I've fell into this. I've noticed her doing it, but never really thought twice about it. And then she's gone onto Instagram recently in the last year or so, and watches more Instagram stories and all that kind of thing. And I said, you'll probably love TikTok, but I didn't really know what it was. So I've now lost my wife to TikTok. So I'm gonna purge the addictiveness of TikTok, because like, we were literally trying to plan my son's birthday out last night. And I bear in mind, I am bad for this. And maybe this is just like someone holding up a mirror to me and looking at my own faults back reflected, is that I spent a lot of time on my phone. And that's a lot of times just looking at comments, checking out the health of the channels, going through social media platforms and all that kind of stuff. So I can very quickly go from something I'm interacting with has stopped to half an hour has passed and I've just been doing shit on my phone. But when we were like, we need to sort this out, and she picks her phone up, and I watch it just like happen, like this bubble comes up around, and it's just, have you actually had any experience of TikTok at all, Chris? It is fucking genius, and this is why I'm not going to purge TikTok. I'm going to purge how addictive it is. I would purge the creators of it, because think about everything that's super addictive about all the existing social platforms. And there's loads of people going to be watching this, by the way, who are on it. It's just going to be like, all right, granddad, explaining what this fucking thing
is.
But you're
too old to download TikTok anyway.
Well, yeah. No, I'm too old to actively put TikTok videos out. But in terms of, because what it is now, you talk about things happening at the zenith or getting things out of the zeitgeist. TikTok has come along at the perfect time. I know it's been around for a while, but it's hitting its peak now because everyone's fucking locked in their houses and everyone's bored. And so What's the most addictive thing about Twitter?
I don't know, actually.
So the swiping motion is the thing that everyone is hooked on well, Twitter. So because it's like a gambling thing, isn't it? You know, you swipe, it refreshes and it gives you a new thing. And the next time it refreshes, you might find some gem of content that's gonna entertain you or keep you going. Over. So that's why you've read everything on Twitter and you're in bed, and you'll still give it one more refresh before you go.
It's funny because they don't need that anymore, and they've kept that in for just that reason. Like, they've not needed that for fucking years. And the fella who invented that worked for Facebook, didn't he, actually? And he left over the fact that they wouldn't drop it in the end, which is quite interesting.
What TikTok is, a video plays and you swipe down and another video immediately plays, like another random video, and obviously if you're within a category. So it's got that immediate thing of, like, you watch it,
you don't know what's coming next.
Exactly. And then, but like, I've she's been in the room with me and she will just erupt into laughter at something. But once you've done that, you've had your hit, and then
the next one,
you'll scroll through a load of other load of shite, and then you might hit upon something else and something else and something else. So it is like, I am, you know, when you see an idea and you're just like blown away by how brilliant the whole thing is. The thing that's good about it, that, and the problem is we're having, because up until this week, and you'll be having this as well, you're experiencing TikTok via Twitter, probably. So you'll be watching a reposted video through there, or you'll be experiencing it through Instagram where people have made it there and it's being reshared to there. And it's a weird subculture that I wasn't aware of. So loads of these.
Have you done any research into what the behind the scenes is and why it's really bad?
No.
I'd urge everyone to watch the Today in Focus, listen to the Today in Focus Guardian podcast on TikTok. Like, it's pretty bad, to be honest with you. And like, people should be aware that they are not showing everything that's put on TikTok, and like, they're proper, like, yeah, it's pretty nasty, naughty shit, like, but yeah, on the surface, like, funny videos. But I get pissed off because if I wanted it, I'd be on TikTok.
It's that thing though. Where it's brilliant right now is, and you don't get it until you, again, kind of immersed in it, is the challenges thing. And we've talked about this, about how everyone's burning through social media challenges really quickly, but so many of these are actually originating on TikTok now and being spread out from there. So like, it just challenge, people are locked in, people need it. And what's great about it is how many families are on there. And it's, you know, like, you've seen them. My dad convinced my dad to do this dance. And it's like some old fella and a mum and the daughters, or the son and the daughter, and they're doing something and they're having a laugh. And it's mad that in a time when everyone's cooped up and locked up together, what I really like about it is that it's given us something to do. Like, me and my missus have just been sitting about, there's loads of couple stuff. So there's loads of couples doing like the physical challenges and all this kind of stuff. Like, we've had such a laugh just trying to go, do you reckon we can do that? Great. It's like one where you can flip people around and all that kind of stuff, like
a bit like the Oxen Perry Edwards,
exactly,
thing.
those kind of things. And you realize what it actually, as much as I have it for, you know, basically less, like, I now know, don't, I'm not able to get the attention of my wife anymore. It gives you this real sense of, it's about like putting the radio on. It makes you feel like you're connected to the world because you're seeing loads of normal people having a go and trying these things. And it's part of it also makes you think, as a creator, I find it a little bit mad that there's about 5 original ideas on there and then it's just a ton of other people having a go at it. But when you strip past that, I like that collectiveness thing, that there's a challenge that can spread around the whole world, and it just makes you think, oh, I wonder if I can do that. And you'll do it and you'll go, and if you fuck it up, you laugh your head off because you're like, that's that easy. And it's, you know, we're all looking for challenges in entertainment. So I'm going to purge the addictiveness, but I'm going to give massive credit to the way which TikTok is at the moment, because everyone's spending more time on social media than ever before. And I like something that, at least, you know, if anything's able to put people's smile on people's faces, then yeah, I'm bang up for that.
Staplers. Be mine.
Just staplers.
Yeah, they're shit, aren't they? Like, genuinely, you'll have heard me whinging about staplers over the years. I just think there's a better way of doing it. I just think that, like, the world's moved on.
Yeah.
Like, the stapler hasn't changed in 60 years and it's never been good at its job. How many times have you had a stapler and it just fucking doesn't work and you're like, fucking hell, I need a new stapler? Can we not just design something else that works better than a fucking stapler, please?
Yeah.
They're fucking pathetic. Yeah. It didn't work. It doesn't work. Why are we still persisting? We can put a man on the fucking moon and yet I can't staple more than 5 pieces of fucking paper together.
Yeah, but then again, it was probably created around the same time as we put a man on the moon and they haven't upgraded the technology since then. Like, no, you're right. I think about it like... Spider-Man upgrades his web shooters, fictional character, I know, before you say, you know, because you want to know, there was a bit in a phrase where he was forever running out of web fluid and then eventually invented like an LED light system in like the 70s where it would flash to let him know that he was about to run out because of the amount of times he was in the middle of fighting someone or was falling off a building and he'd run out of webs. The basic fundamentals as well, how many times it fakes you out, like, oh, have I run out of staples? No, it's full. It's just blocked. And then you go, oh no, it's blocked. Oh no, I've run out of staples. No way of knowing. You've got to fucking open it up, and then you've got to.
Told by staplers.
And then to shut it, you've got to expend another staple to basically get it shut properly.
It's a fucking con. They just want your money.
And the fact that it's such an old technology that nobody explained that if you spin that plate round,
you can get 10 pieces of paper in.
It spreads out that way instead, like legs akimbo, to put thicker files together.
It fucking winds me up, Paul, to be honest with you.
So like, we're purging, if we purge staplers though,
yeah.
What are we going to do instead?
Well, hang on a minute, I need to think this one through. Right. Okay.
Blue tack, not...
We'll purge paper too.
We're on the way anyway, aren't we? yeah, good for the environment. I mean, look, if we purge paper, staplers will just die out naturally anyway.
There you go.
Yeah. It's like getting rid of a food source of a particular, like all the short-necked giraffes.
Yeah.
Basically, like, you know, it'll just,
okay, we're done.
Nailed it. Absolutely.
Although we will
it.
Have a surplus of staples. Like, and you know what?
Landfills filled with
fucking staple guns. They're like the most unuseful tool ever for the simple fact that they have the same issues as staplers.
Yeah, absolutely. Do you know what my real issue with staplers and staples is that there needs to be a one-size-fits-all thing, because if I run out of staples for a staple, anyone's ever done this in an office scenario, and probably in your home as well, to be fair, you're like, because we don't use staplers very often, generally speaking.
I use them a lot.
Yeah. Okay.
And calculators. I have an actual calculator still.
Wow. So is it got like? Is this a scientific one?
You damn straight it is. Yeah, have you not seen it?
No.
It's on my desk.
All right. Sad. Yeah. Anyway, so you, whenever your stapler runs out,
I'll
of
tell
staples,
you what, the solar fucking thing on Casio's is pretty epic. I've had it 25 years and still fucking going strong.
It was the Rolls Royce of calculators.
Peak, it was peak fucking.
I had some mad techs at one because you needed the scientific calculators to start senior school. Yeah, I hated that fucking thing. Anyway, you run out of staples and it's like one of those things, like, where do you keep your backup staples? It's in the list of items. Like for me, where does the adapter for your football adapter for your pump, for your bike pump?
It's you think it would be with the pump, but it's not.
It never is. Like, you know, it really, really is. So you then got to remember, and you then go on the hunt for staples, and then you find some staples, and it makes sense that those be the staples for your stapler, but they never are. It's always a different gauge of staples. That's what they need, because uniformity in staples, just to make life a lot easier, and that's what you got. It's wasteful. I've got I could walk into it. I'm going to draw there, and I reckon there'd be 4 different sizes staples, and I couldn't tell you. It's nothing on it, because then you've got a loose roll of staples, and you just got to try.
No, what's a loose roll of staples?
And then you end up with them getting stuck, Chris. They get stuck because they're not quite the right size for it. I'm with you. Let's just purge staples, and the world be damned. We'll figure it out.
And also, we're on the subject, can I just purge the fact that, like, you'd have cake plates and cake forks? Because in our house, right, we're making a lot more cakes with the kids now, right?
So what you're saying, you've got a cake plate and a cake fork?
Oh, we've got a whole set, mate.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, but the problem is they don't live in the kitchen. And now my kitchen is designed in such a way that everything is where you need it all the time. So sure. We bake a cake. We bake loads of cakes with the kids during this time. In fact, I baked one again this afternoon with them. And then I'm looking at it and going, right, I need a fucking piece of cake. And I get the little plates. out of the fucking cupboard, and I go to my drawer and I get a fork, and I turn around and Kat's coming back with four fucking cake plates and four cake forks, and I'm like, oh hello, here's the woman who doesn't empty the dishwasher, right? You know what I mean? Fucking hell, because tomorrow morning, love, I'm going to have to get them plates and fucking walk all the way into the fucking dining room to put them back. Fuck off.
Are they with the fancy towels? Yeah, and the guest soaps. Yeah, no, we never had that. The only thing we had once was a set of a whole dinner set that was given to us that we never really liked. There's a whole story behind it which I don't think my wife would be happy we'd be sharing, but it's kind of random. But we got the set and we had to keep it. Like, you get these presents off family members and what have you, and we had to keep it in case we were ever asked where it was. And it filled up an entire cupboard in our kitchen of. There was a fucking teapot in there and everything, Chris. There was like side plates and saucers and big plates and small and bowls and big bowls and everything in between. And it was just a completely. It's up there with the gift. Worst gifts. In fact, that is a question. It's come to me. Nice idea for gifts in theory that aren't good in practice. And these will differ from person to person. The one for me, a wallet. There's certain items that I think are very personal to you.
You can't be buying another man a wallet. That's just like, no.
I like the, look, it's a nice, that's a cool wallet. They like that wallet. Yeah, but the wallet is chosen for very specific purposes. Everyone has what has their needs for what that wallet needs to be able to do.
Some people like the button for the coins. I'm one of those guys, I freely admit it.
Yeah, I'm not. You add that to me, it's just adding.
I wouldn't even come near your wallet, mate. I just do not want to. Yeah. I just think it's too much of a thing. Yeah. And I've known you 20 years, and I wouldn't presume to know what type of a wallet man you are.
Yeah, you know the name of like the first bird I ever fingered, but you couldn't possibly guess at what I want require from a wallet.
No.
Yeah, there you go.
Don't do it, people.
Let me know in the comments or tweet us at MateXPager. If you want to interact with anything we ever do, go and follow us on Twitter, actually, of course. Again, at MateXPager. If you want to send us some more lengthy stuff, things that you would like to see purged. We did have one of people, someone looking to purge social media games, which we actually did a really big bit on the Red Men podcast this week, so I'd recommend going checking that
I'm all in
well.
On that. All in on that.
Yeah, it's too much.
Like the thing is, it's just a fucking waste of time, a lot of them. And I get people are looking for... Like, here's the thing. I was having a chat with an old pal of mine at the weekend. Really, really good friend of mine I've not seen really since I've had fucking kids. And he was like, oh, I've been watching your Instagram stories. We have different lives, man. I'm like, yeah, I know. You don't have kids, you live on your own. I bet you're fucking climbing the walls. That's not happening in my house.
Yeah.
Like, I'm trying to fucking climb the fences to get out, but I'm not climbing the fucking walls, yeah, you know what I mean? Yeah. So for me, watching fucking... I know you're the same as this. If you fucking... Because you're so focused on Red Men and everything else that you do and mates and your family and stuff, if you're sitting down for an hour, you want to feel like you fucking learned something or there was a reason for
or
it.
Or done nothing.
Yeah. But the things I really think like I'm torn because that's the type of shit that I used to fucking love. But now it's just banal to me. What's the point of that?
A point where when I was in quarantine and I couldn't do much. So like some of that stuff was okay. When I started to get a bit better, it was I can get it. You're dead right. I get the difference is stark in what life you need to have to be able to do it. And I enjoy that bit of like, it's nice to reminisce. Like that one of like, is the 92 football clubs list which ones, which grounds you visited and all that kind of stuff. There's a nice thing to be like, okay, yeah, I have a little, because you can't, it's like, let's have an imagination party. You know, let's go back and think about something. Yeah, I can get the sense behind
it. If I'm fucking
it.
Doing that, I've got a fucking whole cow on the barbecue in front of me. I'm not thinking about football grounds. I'm hooking it up. You know what I mean? Imaginary fucking Play-Doh food and shit.
We had this point where this is what you've got with kids, is you sit down. And the second you sit down, the second you become even slightly engrossed in something else, daddy, I can't stand my name, by the way.
Paul.
No, don't call me Paul. It's Daddy. And I had to say to Jack, I said, mate, it's just us two playing Lego here. You don't have to say Daddy before you start every sentence. You can just carry the conversation on. And we're gonna have to train him on that. Penny's got no chance. He's still too young for all that kind of stuff. But it's like, Daddy. It's like if you were a notification. It's like, bing, bing. I don't, just carry on talking to me. Isn't this a good piece of Lego? It is a good piece of Lego, mate. But don't, daddy, because you have to go, yes. And the repetition thing, mate. Yeah, okay. Mm-hmm. What?
Howdy.
Just say what you're going to say. Oh, my God. Yeah, I should have paid that, really. Right, okay, we're going to wrap up. Yes, get involved. Chris is at Mr. Blood Red. I am at The Porn Machin. This show, this channel, this podcast is at MHX Payjack. If you want it in video form, it's on the YouTube channel under that name. If you want it on Spotify, search for everyone on iTunes, all good podcasting services. And if you want a bit more of a chat with us, as I say, MHXPayjack@gmail.com. And other than that, we'll be back.
No, wait, I've got one more thing to say to everybody.
Ooh, yeah, go on.
I have never spoken to you with my feet off the floor, but I have now.
And on that bombshell, we'll see you next week.
Look at this, Paul.
It's a TikTok challenge, that, Chris.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.